The presenting sponsor of Moon Tower Soccer is FVF Law.
To find out what makes FVF a different kind of injury law firm, you can visit FVF.law.
Hello, friends, and welcome to Swoon Tower Soccer. My name is Mike Craniola.
And I'm Steph Craniola.
And we are all about the boys.
We've got a lot going on today. We are starting with our match Scott of the match, Gotti. We're going into fit checks, match moods, pitch personalities, our Selly ratings. Finally, we have some.
Yeah.
Social media standouts and the man of my jersey.
But first,
before we get to all that, we've got a match with Philadelphia Union coming up on tomorrow, if you're listening to this on Friday when it's out. And in order to preview that, we sat down with Renee Washington, who is very cool and was great to get to chat with about the state of the Union as they are now.
Hey, oh, I see what you did there.
Yeah. She did it.
Renee joins us from the PHLY Sports Network. She is a host of the Union podcast that they do. And y'all listen to this interview. She's so cool.
So this Saturday night, we are facing the Philadelphia Union. So we reached out to Renee Washington to do our weekend match preview. She's a PHLY host for the Phillies and the Union and works with ESPN, CBS Sports, and MSG Networks. She's a former three-time All-American Hall of Famer for soccer. And in the show notes, I'm going to link her TED Talk, Are You Buried or Planted? Because you owe it to yourselves to watch that today. Renee, thank you so much for being here with us.
Oh my goodness. Thank you so much, Stephanie and Mike. I appreciate it. And thanks also for the kind intro.
It's easy.
Just listing your resume is a really easy way to do a cool intro.
I appreciate that.
We're really lucky to have someone with so many cool things to talk about. This week, we specifically want to talk to you about the Philly Union, but in general, let's become friends.
It would be wild if we were like, this is a Phillies show now. Everyone, get your baseball bats ready.
That's right.
Basically.
So one of the things that we have noticed, right, is that national MLS coverage can reduce complexities to generalities. How does the national take on Philadelphia compared to y'all's local perspective covering the team? You know, we know that Philly's built on their academy. We know they play strong defense and direct attacking soccer. It's kind of like a blue collar vibe on the soccer field, right? Are those things accurate or like too simply reduced for someone in Philly?
It's all very much accurate. The Philadelphia Union are extremely blue collar. The team traditionally does not pay a lot of money to bring in players. It's more about the homegrowns. Honestly, that's been the success and the backbone of this group over the years, that it's been developing guys, bringing them in through the academy program, through the Union 2, working them into the system. And then eventually when they do become big enough and it's like a Brendan Aaronson situation and they go and they play somewhere else. So it has been the consistent theme. And honestly, the one thing I think that's missed out on, though, is the kind of frustration that fans may have with that model. Because let's face it, the MLS is spending a lot more money these days. Teams are spending a lot more money these days. And in order to keep up, you know, what used to work in the past does not fully work the same way. And I'm a big component of developing players. I think it's phenomenal they do that versus just always paying to bring in talent. But I also would love to see a better balance of paying, maybe, you know, bringing in a superstar forward or striker in addition to the homegrown. But no, for the Philadelphia Union, unfortunately, there's not as much, like, typically what meets the eye, there's like more than what meets the eye, is saying, but that's not the case with the Union. Like, what you see is what you get. It's just a group that's been running it back with the same core group season after season, trying to get further without any major roster changes, which is not ideal.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought up Brendan Aaronson, because I've watched a little bit of this year's Philly Union team, and I know Quinn Sullivan is making his mark on the team, right? And he's got a younger brother in Kevin, and the Aaronson brothers, you know, like, is there something in the water where y'all are just growing them two at a time? Like, how does that work?
I wish we could grow them and keep them. Paxton and Brendan would be great on the team right now. Mark Matthews would be great on the team right now. It's just over the years been so many talented players that have come through the union. And honestly, the area in general is a big hotbed. Soccer, I mean, I grew up and played in the area, and I can say firsthand, like New Jersey, the Philadelphia area, outside of Philadelphia on the other side, going towards like Villanova University and Conshohocken area, it's a very big soccer hotbed. And there's a lot of top clubs in the area, a lot of top, you know, just programs and opportunities. And I think the Philadelphia Union have really set themselves as the, for the, especially on the, well, obviously on the men's side, but as the place that for boys, as you're growing up, that is the goal, to play with the Philadelphia Union. You know, it's everybody in the area, there's a lot of academies and ECNL and different programs, but the MLS Next product and the academy product is such a big piece. And to be honest, with every Brendan Aaronson and Paxton, inspires the Quinns and the Calvin Sullivan, that now they know, okay, this is what I can go do myself. I can play at this level. I can go kind of the same path. Like, they're opening those doors of opportunities for others. And that's partly why you're seeing so many homegrown talents. And it's fantastic. Honestly, I commend the Philadelphia Union for doing such a good job of keeping the talent consistently developing year after year, that every year you have a Quinn Sullivan right now who's playing remarkable. Jack McGlynn, who plays in the midfield also. Nate Harriel, who plays outside back, center back sometimes if needed. You know, it's a lot of talent that is, you're looking at 19, 20, 21 years old, and they've been in this area. They've been right in our backyard. They, you know, they don't have to go far to find them. So I think it's just with, again, every success story is like breeding more of the next generation to also want to follow in their footsteps.
Yeah, that's really interesting to kind of think through the way that the academy has just kept churning out these players. On a less, I guess, positive note, I want to talk about the last couple of weeks for the Union. And I know, so this is something that, again, reducing it to four draws and a real tough loss. What does that do? You've seen over time what these different peaks and valleys have done for the team. So coming off of this form right now, what are you looking to see on Saturday? How do they respond to these setbacks or these streaks?
Yeah. What loss? I don't know what loss you're referring
you're right.
to. I don't we're remember talking- six goals that were scored on the Philadelphia Union in one leg. Listen, I will say, I don't know how other MLS teams are currently feeling, but this is definitely not the way that the Union wanted to start off 2024. It's been quite a rocky start. It's been kind of chaotic, and we're only in March, which is kind of terrifying too. And so I think this weekend, to be honest, is like a must-win game. And not in the sense of like everyone's going to go crazy and whatever else, but there's definitely a lot of frustration with the fact that the Union, although they've actually had prior to this past Tuesday 6-0 loss to Pachuca in CONCACAF Champions Cup game, had been scoring and doing a good job offensively, that was one of the bright spots because that was an area the team needed to work on. They struggled in the past with scoring goals in the run of play. It was a lot. Daniel Gazdag, our 10, sits in, scores a lot of penalty kicks. Julian Carranza, our striker, does a phenomenal job of scoring. But outside of those two, it really was a question mark of who else can contribute. So there was a feeling of optimism when you see a 3-2 game, a 2-2 game, that, okay, they're at least scoring goals and let's tweak things on the defensive side. But on the defensive side, and now on the offensive side as well, it is concerning that the results, I mean, you're tying Chicago Fire, you're tying, you're barely tying Sporting Kansas City. Like, these types of things are frustrating to how you're starting off the season as a team with high expectations. And so, honestly, I think this Saturday's game and the next week or two, it is imperative that the Union get a win. Like, 2024 to be winless, great. It's mostly ties, but that was also the streak they had at the end of the regular season last year. That was extremely frustrating going into the playoffs. So it's kind of like they picked up right where they left off. So this is a must-win game going up against Austin for the Philadelphia Union.
Yeah, and I guess to follow up on that, like, what do you see in your players in terms of attitudes towards that? Do you see a lot of like bite and fight, or are you seeing some of them start to like sink into themselves?
Yeah, and I try to really balance it, as I'm sure as you guys know, when you cover a team so closely, like, you want to have this, be able to see the bigger picture. And I think there's a good mixture of, you've got some young talents, someone like They brought in Marcus Anderson, for example, who's a forward. He's high-flying, high-energy, aggressive, looks to score goals. We've got Quinn Sullivan, who we talked about, that plays a little bit in the midfield but also up top. Very versatile, likes to just go, he likes to create, very aggressive, plays on the front foot. And then it feels as though there are some of the, I think what the letdown is, because even on the back line with Nate Harriol, Kai Wagner, who plays outside back, Damian Lowe, who slotted into center back, there's a lot of younger guys that are stepping up. The concern is the veterans, the guys like a Mikel Uwa, who was one of the highest paid players in the team, who was brought in as the DP to score goals to help win games, hasn't been able to produce. Daniel Gazdag, as I was talking about, as the leading scorer, hasn't been able to produce. So I think, to be honest, you get that bite and fight from some guys, but not everyone. And I know I've talked about on our show, there are countless times you'll see a great service, end line service, flank ball played in, final third pass being made, and it's a chance of me versus the keeper or me versus defender. And every time the Philadelphia Union are losing that battle to be first to score. And as we know in soccer, you got to want it. Ball's in the box, you're going to be attacking third. You know, that's the time you have to be aggressive and want to, you know, find a way to finish. And I think the offensive end has struggled. And then on the reverse, because of that, the defense has had a lot more pressure on them. And you've seen Andre Blake, our goalkeeper, the goalkeeper's been injured. He worked back Tuesday ago. Center backs have been struggling. It's just been a lot. It's been a lot of like kind of piecemealing it and already some injuries and already some question marks. So fight and fight is there for some. And for others, it does kind of feel like, wait a minute, what is going on here? Why are you kind of going through the motions at times and not seeing that urgency to score and want to win 50-50 balls and keep possession and score or clear the ball out?
Honestly, hearing this as an Austin FC fan, yeah. Like we're a mirror to each other right now, I think.
Okay.
With the way that our clubs are kind of starting off this season, you know, our star player, Sebastian Driussi, he's been out injured. And so like every week, it's like, will he play this week? You know, last week, Josh Wolf, our coach, put him on the bench, knowing he wasn't going to play, which is its own kind of question mark that like, highlights a lack of depth that we have as a team. You know, we shared this with our St. Louis correspondent on the show last week that we currently have 5 open roster spots.
I guess that's one thing I'm super jealous of, like y'all's academy program right. for is that there is so much, like if you're relying on that, it's a never ending source of players.
Yes.
Nice to have players.
Yeah. So it is, first of all, I want to say it's ironic because on our show, we were talking prior to the game that got rained out against Seattle with a reporter from out West. And he was actually mentioning that they were having the same problems that we're having, which sounds like the same problems that you're having in Austin. I do think the depth, that's something we've talked about a million times, is an issue in the MLS in general.
Yeah.
There are obviously way more games being played. I to be honest, and even hearing that you guys have gone through it for the Philadelphia Union, you look at Julian Carranza, who is the best forward, the best scorer on this team that's been injured. And without him on the pitch, it's like, who else is going to step up? And the depth issue has been a problem for everybody because there's more games. The guys are traveling a lot more. I mean, the Philadelphia Union were just in Mexico. Now they're going to be in Austin. They were home before that. It's a lot of travel. It's a lot of wear and tear. And I do feel as though a lot of the veterans especially are dealing with that, which is why when I say going through the motions, a bit of that is burnt out. I mean, the season, you don't have much of an off season. You don't have much of a break. It's a quick turnaround. You're jumping right back in. And for the Philadelphia Union, I know head coach Jim Curt's been trying to rotate them a lot more and getting 4 and 5 subs in, which has been helping. But it still is an issue where you can see how thin this group is. So the academy side is helpful, but it's not an instant thing. It's something that requires time. So most times the players coming from the academy, the ones that I mentioned, for example, Quinn Sullivan, Nate Harriol, Jack McGlynn, who are now working themselves into being everyday starters, it took them a couple years before. So it's not even a situation where you have, and I'll use like a baseball analogy of like, you've got these prospects in the minor leagues that you can just call up and bring in when needed. they're not game ready right away. And they might be ready to give you a couple minutes here and there, but definitely not ready to step into a major role. And the Philadelphia Union has definitely had depth issues because of injuries. And then you're relying on a lot of younger players to step into these major roles that they're not sometimes ready for. And then the ones that are playing 90 minutes year after year, they just look tired. And it's only March, which is why I'm like, this is kind of concerning. This is how the Philadelphia Union, in my opinion, looked last year. But I understood it at the end of 57, 58 games. You're not supposed to look this way four games into 2024. So, yeah. Yes, it's concerning, I think, around the MLS that there's a need to expand the roster rules and different – honestly, take a hard look at how teams are constructed to allow for more players to have opportunities in the league.
Plus one on that, for sure. You know, we here in Austin are currently, like, very involved in conversations in the supporters groups around, like, how are we going to respond to the demands being placed on our players by the league, right? And so, yeah, it's super tough right now. And is that kind of the current narrative around the union? Is this question of, like, health and players, or is Twitter serious when they talk about Jim Curtin out? Or is that, like, reactionary generally?
No.
Like,
I like Jim Curtin. He's a really great guy. He's a very good coach. He gets it. The hard part is, I think he's been dealt a losing hand, or not fully losing, but a very unfavorable hand, I should say, because the team this season didn't make any significant moves in the offseason. And this was expected. You cannot have last year, I mean, the biggest question marks at the end of last season for the Philadelphia Union was, were they going to bring back Ty Wagner and Ali Bedoya? Ali Bedoya, captain, has been the voice, the heartbeat of this team his entire tenure. It's been since 2016.
And Ty, he's Wagner's 36 big, now, right? Like, he's
now
getting
he's
up
aging.
There.
He's not a 90-minute player. Kai Wagner, another one, one of the top outside backs in the league, to be honest, has been coveted by a number of European clubs and other international clubs in general at a higher level for more money. And those were two that we were talking about on our show. Okay, are they going to come back? And if not, who's going to replace them? Julian Carranza, Daniel Gazdag, a lot of players for the Philadelphia Union getting interest and offers other places. Will they still be here? So the question has been, not only are your top players possibly going to be moving on, who are you replacing them with? So then the Philadelphia Union bring back Kai and Ali. Ali actually came back in a role as a coach player contract, where he's literally helping and involved in some coaching, and he's more of a utility player. He's off the bench. He's supposed to be the role player. Well, lately he's had to start. And I like Ali Bedoya. He's been on our show. He's a great guy. He's not someone that should be starting. He's just not there at 36 and they're out of mileage on the tank. So the narrative around Jim and potentially his future, to be honest, is bigger than him. The team needs to spend money and make significant changes, give him the best chance to coach this team to be as successful as possible. You cannot expect the team to be better when there were no changes this offseason. It was Marcus Anderson, who, again, as I mentioned, solid forward. He's not someone that's a game-changing forward right now. He's going to need to take time. They had a number of young signings. They did at least bring in a backup goalie in Oliver Zemla. Thank goodness you got to see him play already, because he's the one that started things off for the MLS for the Philadelphia Union, because Andre Blake was out. So you have your best players, Andre Blake, Ali Bedoya. They're two of their three center backs that they kind of rotate. Jacob Glesnes, Jack Elliott. These are guys that have been with the team 5, 6 years, 7 years, played a lot of minutes, and you're relying on them. There has not been any fresh blood. So what, to be honest, is that what I see from the roster, you have the veterans that have been here for 6, 7, 8 years, and then you have the homegrowns that are like 2 years in, and there's nobody in between. That's the issue, because again, homegrowns are great. The veterans are great. But someone like a Julian Carranza, who was a later addition, there needs to be more of those types of players that you brought in to be ready now to make an impact to win games. So honestly, I would hope that before Jim Curtin goes, it has to be bigger than him. Or Ernst Tanner and the front office and different people, they are the ones that are not ever making moves that allow the union to have a different look and a different team which means it's the same cycle season after season. This season is like last season, which is like the season before. New Year, same issues.
You know, that said, I think a lot of us in Austin would love to trade issues.
I hear that all the time.
But I think
greener.
Yeah, I think it's a really interesting thing. Another thing that ties our two clubs together is actually Oliver Semla. Yes. He had come from Louisville, where we just loaned out our star young keeper, Damian Loss. And so we loaned out Damian Loss to the USL club, Louisville. And then immediately we're nervous because Oliver Semla is on that team and he was doing so well for them. And then y'all picked him up. And like,
thankfully,
for all of us, it ended up being a really great deal for Damian because now he has a clearer shot to the first team with the USL team, giving him some reps to get on, you know, develop more as a player behind Brad Stuver and goal for us. And so, yeah, I'm really excited for this weekend. But I don't know, looking at your roster, who we might see play.
Like, I don't either.
Yeah, and that was we were going to ask. But like, we've seen a different rotation in every one of the last couple matches. So yeah, we want to ask you who you're expecting to be there, but it sounds like no one knows.
Nobody knows. Again, head coach Jim Curtin has been rotating this group a lot. So every lineup has had some tweaks because he's trying to manage guys' minutes, trying to keep them as fresh as possible, trying to manage the load. Like I said, the grass is not greener. I don't know if you guys saw Subaru Park Saturday ago. It was not green. It was under puddle. That's very accurate of what's happening in Chester with the Philadelphia Union, because I don't know who's going to start. I would imagine it's going to be some form of actually, I don't know. I mean, I think typically what the Union do line up in this part, I will say, is consistent. It's a 4-3-3. I mean, excuse me, a 4-4-2, with having more of a diamond midfield and having twin strikers up top. So I do anticipate that would be the same. They have rotated who's in those different roles. And sometimes you'll see like the outside backs, there's about three outside backs that kind of rotate through. There's three center backs that rotate through those two center back roles. The midfield is typically Jose Martinez, who sits in as the sixth, who's just a physical, you know, player that will battle for every 50-50, great in transition, offensively and defensively, and just kind of fills in where needed. Jack McGlynn's probably going to be in the midfield with Quinn Sullivan. I don't know who that fourth person will be. Daniel Gazdag should be it, but sometimes they rotate and we'll move Quinn Sullivan up top and have somebody else like Jesus Bueno into the midfield. But it will absolutely be a 4-4-2. With the diamond midfield and the two up top, they look to do a lot of just kind of finding the outside backs to get forward, joining them into the attack. The midfield kind of stays very compact, which is something I actually would like to see them not do. I'd love to see the midfielders make more runs to stretch the field. And then the forwards are just typically drifting in and out, linking play. So I don't know who's going to be in those roles. Honestly, from goalie all the way through, especially with the 6-0 game, that to me is something that makes this lineup even less predictable, but it will be a 4-4-2, guys.
Yeah. And I mean, when we saw subs coming out around halftime, we were even more thrown off because is that saving them for this week? Is it like, where is that coming from? So it sounds like, maybe.
And I'll be honest. I think it's just managing players, and there is a very close battle in some of these positions where it's not as obvious of like, this is the definitive starter. And so because of that, it's a good thing because there is that slight depth, but it just allows the rotation of who's starting. So I don't even know. Our press conference with Jim is tomorrow. So as of the moment, as we're having this conversation, haven't even heard from him yet about the status of the team, but I will say it's going to be a 4-4-2. Who's in those roles? Don't know. And they play very similar, regardless who's in those roles, the same type of tendencies and, you know, play is going to be there for how the Philadelphia Union like to attack and defend.
Yeah. And that was something I think was really clear watching their game against Sporting Kansas City and then watching them play against Pachuca, right? The structure is the structure, correct, right? Like the players are interchangeable mostly in that space. And so from our perspective in Austin, I think we're going to see the same midfield that we saw against St. Louis because of its ability to absorb pressure on that, like that counterattack, right? And kind of deal well enough with a press to like get out of it. And so I would be surprised on our end if we see anything different, but you never know.
You do never know. Renee, this has been really amazing. Thank you so much for coming on, sharing some insight, giving us a little peek behind the curtain.
I see what you did there.
Yep.
Yeah, I like it. I can feel that. I'll give you credit.
Is there anything else that you feel for Philly has kind of been left out of the national narrative? Anything that you feel really passionately about sharing, just about the team and their, I mean, again, past a couple weeks aside, like their style and their play?
Yeah, I mean, it's a really good group. They are very, as we talked about, that blue collar mentality, but they are very like down to earth, hard, like kind, hardworking group. I really hope that they can turn things around. And honestly, I would hope that this game this weekend is that. Sorry, guys. I would hope that this game this weekend is a chance for the Union to kind of feel good. I mean, it's been a frustrating start for sure. This team, as much as they have some semi-depth with being able to start and rotate who's in the first 11, because of that, the group kind of has the same make and model, regardless who's on the pitch. And there's nobody that brings you any different flair. And I think they're still trying to find that identity of how who's going to be the game changer? Who's going to bring something different? Who's going to bring something unpredictable? You know, it's a lot of set pieces, flank services, in transition tend to be like the best ways they attack. Who's going to add something different where they can combine up the field, or, you know, making a three-man combination, an overlapping run, or something that stretches the defense a little bit more and unbalances them instead of it always being so predictable? So I know with all of the games that are being played across the MLS and other competition, that is the biggest area where it starts, of wanting more from the league, not even just the Philadelphia Union. And I'm glad that that's been a consistent theme that I've heard from others like yourselves, of like the issues that are affecting the Union honestly are not really just even soccer specific. It's the need to adapt to all these incredible changes that we've seen with the new scheduling and formatting and, you know, the international games that are woven into it. So I'm excited. I just hope for a good soccer game this weekend. That's all. That's all. Don't have a repeat of Tuesday and we'll be fine. Everything will be fine.
We can almost guarantee it's not going to be a repeat of Tuesday.
That said, like, is the narrative around Philly that this match is going to be y'all's like get back on the horse moment? In this house, we've switched it to get back on the turtle. As a way to make it sound easier to do. So is this your get back on the turtle moment?
Yeah, it might be get back on the turtle, the pony, like whatever's a little easier than that horse climb that seems a little bit steep right now. Let's get back on the curb. But yeah, I do think this weekend, this should be the weekend, hopefully. Honestly, the concerning part is with the game against Seattle being rained out, many, like myself, thought that was the extra rest they needed to get right for Pachuca. And then they went down and lost 6-0 in Mexico. So I hope that this weekend is just a step in the right direction. Good 90 minutes of soccer, you know, get a clean sheet, get a result, walk away with a win. But yeah, otherwise it will lead to some bigger questions and conversations that I don't think anybody's ready to have or wants to have in March at this point.
Awesome. All right. Renee, where can people find and follow your work? I'll put your link tree in the show notes, but any places you want to point them particularly?
You guys are the best. You can always follow me. I'm on Twitter at Renee P. Wash and across social at Renee P. Washington, everywhere else. And then our show, PHLY Union. You know, we're broadcasting each week, twice a week, doing previews and recaps and talking to us similarly to what we just had, the same conversation around of, you know, the state of the Union and what's going on around the team and the league. So I appreciate you guys so much for allowing me to jump in and weigh in on this matchup this weekend. And hopefully it'll be a great game of soccer for both sides.
Yeah. Next time you're down in Austin, let us know. We'll get a drink. Yes. We'll hang out.
Sounds perfect.
Awesome. Thank you so much. Thank you so much again to Renee for coming on and giving us some insights, some little behind the scenes facts about Philly and the way they play. We're really looking forward to the match. And, you know, we hope it's a great fun game of soccer. So on with the swoon. We're kicking off with Gaudi.
Oh,
our mascot of the match. Gaudi is, oh boy.
A sausage.
If you want a hippopotamus living in your house,
Gaudi's yours.
Gaudi's the dog for you. Gaudi is a 60-pound terrier pit bull mix, and he's 8 years old, and he is so sweet and so gentle, and his head is so big.
Yeah.
I think like 40 pounds of that is his head.
We love Gaudi's little underbite. Mm. We love his whole vibe. And we love his insights. You should listen to Gaudi's interview right now.
Oh, hi, Gaudi.
Hi. Okay, so we have a question for you, Gaudi. We want to know, are you stronger on the ball than Johan Valencia?
Great answer. Yeah, okay, I have a question for you. So tonight we're playing St. Louis City, sponsored by Purina. What is your favorite brand of dog food? That's a good answer. Yeah. Spicy take, huh?
All right. And our last question, Gaudi. Do you think that it's possible tonight we begin 31-1-1?
Thank you so much, Gaudi. We think so, too.
Yeah, let's get a listo verde.
I'm giving Gaudi 10 million dogs out of 10. I don't know. I love this dog.
Yeah,
I want this dog.
Gaudi gets 5 gabagool from me. Out of obviously 3, because why would you have more than 3 Italian meats?
I love Gaudi. And if you're looking for a dog, please go adopt him and invite me over.
Yeah, same.
Another note, another match Scott note. I noticed some discomfort maybe in the dillo on the field during halftime. Looked like maybe he needs some sunglasses and some earmuffs.
Are we projecting?
I'm just saying it looks like the armadillo needs some sunglasses and some earmuffs.
I mean, they are nocturnal creatures who are afraid of loud noise, but I'm happy they're there.
I want to see an armadillo in sunglasses and earmuffs. And I want to interview the armadillo. So
yes.
If you're listening and you've got the hookup.
Yeah, Mr. Armadillo Handler.
Yeah.
If Swoon Tower is also your favorite podcast, feel free to reach out to us so that we can interview that armadillo.
Yes.
Oh my gosh. The little armadillo wrestling with a microphone.
Yeah, I want that in my life while wearing sunglasses and earmuffs.
Speaking of things we want in our lives, Steph, it's time to talk about some outfits.
Ooh, I've got a lot of thoughts on the outfits this week. I'm seeing a noticeable decline in khaki, so I'm happy for that. But also, one thing that I was really excited about, it was a little chilly on Saturday night, and mm-hmm. we got some darn good coats. I'm calling out Ethan Finley and Jean Kolmanich especially. If you pause the video that's on Twitter and Instagram at their appearances, I mean, gosh, Ethan Finley's got this like Ted Baker looking like leather strap on the upturned collar. It is giving dad. It is giving rich fashion dad.
Yeah.
Still giving dad, but it's giving like, I don't know, good dad.
Yeah. And John is kind of the opposite vibe, right? He is giving teenage son, but in a cool way.
Yeah. I can see John playing Hamlet.
Oh, sure.
In this coat and hoodie combination.
Yeah, that's good. Brad Stuver wearing a jacket that feels like something out of my closet. I respect infinitely. It is a, you know, REI special look there, which I will always rock.
I really liked Brad's fit this week. The like tan or white hoodie with that kind of puffy textured black jacket. I'm in.
Yeah, that is gray is the color of that hoodie.
I think the one thing that we're learning on Swoon Tower Soccer is that colors are meaningless.
Unless it's remotely brown.
Near khaki, and I hate it.
One fit that did not make the official accounts that I was wondering your opinion on is Emmy Ragone's fit.
Okay, so here's the thing. Maybe even more than khaki, I hate a turtleneck. I don't like it.
I think his neck is too long for a turtleneck to not look ridiculous.
I just think that turtlenecks in general look pretentious. I don't know. I don't know what it is, but like something about a turtleneck. I looked at this picture and I was like, no, this is just... No, and I think Emmy is an attractive man.
Yeah, I was gonna say it's crazy.
Sense of fashion.
Normally, his fashion kills. Yeah. Right. This is the one part he never misses on.
Yeah.
Like, and you know, the jacket is really good. I like that he went with the leather toilet bag. I thought that was a big move. You know, but man, yeah. It is hard to look past that turtleneck. It feels like it accentuates how long his neck is in a bad way.
Yeah, I just, man, if you really want to make me mad, a khaki corduroy turtleneck would do it. Here's something that doesn't make me mad.
Is it Jimmy time?
Yeah, it's Jimmy time.
Yeah. So Jimmy Farcalone shared... And a fit check. I can't tell if this is from Q2, if this is from practice, if this is from the pitch, but our guy looks incredible.
Yeah, so good.
He's wearing kind of this teal outfit with these bright red shoes. Really good.
It's great. We are big fans of Jimmy time.
Yeah, it is. It is Jimmy time for sure in this household.
Yeah, it is. All right, you want to dive into our match moods?
Yeah, sure. So we've got the one to talk about this week.
I think in general, we noticed like a big difference in just general match mood. And like without repeating a lot of Landon and Jeremiah and your commentary from this week, it was nice to see some like... Fight and drive. Yeah.
Diego Rubio, officially my favorite current outfield player on the team.
Mm-hmm.
Man, what a hustle that guy has. What a motor.
Yeah.
I think he'll get roughly a billion yellow cards this season for being spicy. And
I think so too.
I'm here for it. Set a record, baby.
Yep. I think that my other favorite, this isn't on the outline. But my other favorite moment is when Brad Stuver had to explain the rules of soccer to the referee.
Surprisingly patiently.
Yes.
You know, I don't know that I've ever been in a situation where I had to tell someone how they were supposed to do their job in the middle of like a competition.
Yeah.
Like, and honestly, I was impressed with how everyone on the team handled it instead of... how I feel like I might have. I'm ready for the real refs to come back. And yes. I'm tired of these replacement refs. And
infinitely proud of Brad.
Yes.
Always. That just goes without saying, but I'm saying it.
I'm glad you did.
Okay, so this was my favorite part of the entire match is sometime in the second half when all of the subs were warming up, and the St. Louis City keeper came over to the ball had kind of come out, and he pulled back and looked like he was going to just like rocket this ball at our subs. I mean, like wound his foot back and just like, but then just kind of like gave it a little tap. But Owen Wolf, the way this boy ducked, he was just like convinced. I mean, Berkey sold it. And
Owen
bought it.
Like, yeah. Berkey is a giant man who, like, has made his living kicking that ball so hard on clearances and on, you know, like, on goal kicks and stuff.
It's no shade to Owen. I also would have ducked, like, my life was on the line. But the funny part was how embarrassed he was after Berkey just gave it a little tap and, like, just kept... I mean, with all of the other boys out warming up, he was like, did you see that? He was going to, like, and he kept like
really
imitating
he
the way
he was going to do it.
Yep. And he's like, and I, you know, I died. And it just like, he was so, it was so youthful, you know, like it was a sweet little moment that one of those things that we get to see where we're sitting, and I think is a missed moment for most folks.
Yeah, I missed it because I was watching the game and Steph grabbed me.
Okay, braggy.
I missed it and you grabbed me about it, and I regret every second of missing it because, like, I can watch the game on replay. I'll never see that, you know?
Yeah.
And so it was a nice reminder that sometimes, like, it's okay to miss a second of something to capture an infinitely rememberable moment.
Yeah. Like a little life lesson.
Yeah. I'm trying to grow as a person here in 2024.
Me too. You want to talk about our Sally?
You know I do.
I'll let you talk about the first one and I'll talk about the second one.
How weird. Why?
Because I just talked a lot, you know? I'm just trying to balance it out.
You're doing a great job balancing this week. Matt Hedges scores our first goal, his first goal of the season. And he does this, like, jumping hug onto Julio, which might be the only person that Matt Hedges can jump into and hug, because Matt Hedges is gigantic. And then does this, like, half a fist pump that is, like, the most...
It's just like, here's my bicep!
Yeah, picture like, a standard soccer celebration in your head, and you've seen it! And it's so fun to watch defenders celebrate, mm-hmm. because you can tell they were like, I didn't plan
when
for this.
I don't have a goal celebration.
Yeah, I don't,
like, what?
I don't, this isn't my job. and it looked like the kind of celebration that you would do for clearing a ball or whatever.
That Alex Ring would do for.
That Alex Ring would do for tackling a guy, whether it was, you know, necessary or not.
Yeah.
And that was the celebration on this, which, you know, first goal puts us ahead. Contextually, very important goal. And as such, that's a 9.5 for me.
Okay. I'm going to give it a 6.5.
Okay.
Just because I feel like everyone should be prepared to score a goal. Then we had our second goal of the match, and this is from Julio Cascante, and he immediately ran to the subs. Like, that was my favorite part. I know it's where he was going to the supporters, he's looking up at the supporters, but, like, Biru was the first hug that he got, and I just thought that was really sweet and special. We had just hugs, and because it's, even though it's, like, the same celebration, because it was in the South End, and because I'm partial to Julio, I'm going to give it an 8.
Nice. I liked that because the goal came like 2 minutes after we had just been scored on, right? Like, that, it was necessary that we got this goal. And he knew who needed it more than anyone was the fans. Mm-hmm. And so he celebrating with them directly, 9.5. Also, the photo afterwards that you can see on J10 Gonzalez's Instagram, that photo alone is a 9.5 out of 10.
That is undercutting that photo.
Like, Brad Stuver's comment on this photo is, first frame is wild, with, like, flame emoji, right? All the players' reactions to it, flame emojis. So, yeah.
It's like a 9.5 million out of 10, that photo.
A sick one. It's a really good one. Really captures the moment there.
Yeah. All right, you want to take a little break?
You know I do. Swoon Tower Soccer is brought to you by our friends at FVF Law, the official injury lawyers of Austin FC.
FVF is a different kind of personal injury law firm dedicated to community, transparency, and client education.
You can go to fvf.law to find out what makes FVF a different kind of injury law firm, and why understanding your legal options can dramatically change the outcome of a case. Also, you should check out their podcast, Summary Judgment. It's available anywhere podcasts can be found, so after Swoon Tower, maybe you want to listen to some law podcasts, and that's where to do it.
Our premier sponsor is McGuire Woods Consulting, helping clients in the public affairs space, from lobbying at the local, statewide, and federal levels, the digital and communications campaigns across the country.
McGuire Woods Consulting has offices in 10 MLS cities, but only advertises on this podcast because it's the home of the two-time reigning Copa Tejas champions, which, as we all know, is the most important trophy in professional sports. Contact our friends at McGuire Woods Consulting at mwcllc.com for more information.
All right, you ready to get into social media standouts?
Yeah, of course I am.
Okay. Are we going to start with our favorite piece of news from the last 2 weeks?
Yeah, duh. The one that I went out to personally investigate.
Yeah, we're serious about our news
here.
Yeah, we're
serious journalists now, folks.
Yeah, we confirm stories.
Yeah, not just rumors anymore. Facts, too.
Okay, so you all know it's Jimmy time in the Crignola house and beyond. So Jimmy
is the best.
Is the best. There was a picture shared where there was an end cap at the Verde store with four Farkaloon jerseys lining the shelves.
Yeah, immediately before we found out that Jimmy was on a short-term loan to Austin FC for the weekend. And so this was like a little snippet of a crumb that maybe there was something up.
Yeah. Everyone was like, oh, I didn't know they did, you know, player jerseys that weren't Driussi.
Yeah, or next pro player jerseys on the first team or any of these other things. And so, you know, I happened to be around the corner at Turnstile having a coffee. And I thought, I might as well drive over and see. You know, on my way home, it's on the way. May as well check. So as I go in to the Verde store, I hear from the workers as they are telling the story amongst themselves that, oh yeah, he was in here earlier. He hung up his four custom jerseys and took a picture with them before like taking them out of the store. So
what a boss move.
Talk about manifesting your dreams, right?
I love it. And this is with no, like, zero hint of judgment. Like, I'm not trying to, like, shame him for doing this in any way. Because
I legitimately
think it's one of the best and sweetest and most wholesome, like, moves that you could do. I love every single thing about this.
Yeah. And I think it's the mentality that you need to have as a pro athlete to be able to succeed, right? Like, you need to believe in yourself enough that you're going to go and take this picture so that, you know, by the end of the year is your plan, right? Like, you're a fixture on the squad and your jersey is really hanging up in there.
Yeah. I love it. It just like filled my whole heart. And seeing someone who wants it that bad that he's going to make it happen, whether it's like, you know, sponsored by the club or not, like, I just, oh man,
yeah,
what a joy.
Big time drive.
Yeah.
Speaking of driving, mm-hmm. Another highlight that I had for this week's social media is Guilherme Biru riding a scooter downtown, taking in some Austin sights. I love those little scoots. You know I do.
I know you do.
It's okay to have fun in your city, and boy was he.
Yeah.
And that's great.
CJ's back in training. He looks cut.
Yeah, that is a guy who put in a lot of work in the offseason.
Yeah, I had no good transition, so there was no good segue there. He just looks fit.
Speaking of having fun, I've been watching CJ. Is that no?
No, I didn't want that.
All right. You know, I think at the beginning of the year, right, Coach Wolf had said how fit CJ was.
Mm-hmm.
And these photos, like, even after coming back from injury, to stay that fit, that's impressive.
Speaking of cut, Seba got a haircut. Let's go back on the train. Choo-choo.
I love this haircut.
Yeah, I do too.
This is the best one he's ever had.
Really a big fan of it.
Super long in the front, coming down to that point in the back. Very cool guy haircut. Very excited to see him on the field.
Yeah. Our next little bit, we've got a couple different things that just social media things that have been shared out. And it's just one of those moments that, like, as we were adding these to the sheet, little things that stood out are like the normal humanity of these boys just using Instagram like a normal person.
Yeah. The first one of those, I think, is the Gallagher's baby announcement, right? Last Friday, they were ready to announce to the world that they are having a kid. And I mean, it is like textbook, your friends posting about their kid. Mm-hmm. And it's so cute.
Here's a video of my parents. Here's a video of her parents. Here's a video of our friends on FaceTime or, you know.
Yeah, just great. Really, really excited for the Gallagher's. Congratulations.
Yeah, there's an element of like not being produced.
Yeah,
about it that I thought was just really, it's just good. It's just nice.
And then I liked all of the player comments about like Project Mbappe starts now. Like that vibe is so good.
Yes. Yeah. It's nice to still see those personalities coming through. Yeah. And those relationships. Other like little normal things, like Julio's wife does marketing, graphic design, website design, and he's just sharing out one of her random reels. Yeah. Just like a normal husband would. Mike shares out my stuff all the time, you know, all my dumb stuff. And it just felt really like, here's this picture of me coming out of the fog of winning, you know, like scoring, of being a hero of Q2. And then like, also here's my wife and she's rad.
Mm-hmm.
And I just thought that was great.
Yeah. The Cascantes are my like they're my role model for a relationship, right? Yeah. Get you somebody who loves you the way Julio and his wife love each other.
Mm-hmm.
I just really love watching them. Steph, you showed me that you freaked out about this in bed the other night. And so I want you to talk about this one.
Yeah. Diego Rubio, talk about, again, using Instagram just like a normal person, shared out a video reel, an Instagram reel of like a comedy a sketch.
Yeah.
Of like groceries being really expensive. And this lady's like, don't scan the cheese. And he's like, I'm going to scan the cheese. Look away. And it just like was so stupid and like funny. And so I don't know who hasn't done that. Who hasn't seen a video that you like think is funny and you share it out on Instagram? But we never see stuff like that from players.
From players. Yeah, exactly. Like this man has a professional athlete's Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
But here he is just like, LOL.
Yeah. it just is so normal.
Yeah.
And I really like that. And I think that, you know, part of our job on this show is calling attention to stuff like that to remind you all that they are normal.
Yeah. Speaking of normal, you know, we got at the end of last week, we got Galley's mic'd up. It wasn't a Danny mic'd up, but it was still pretty good.
It was still pretty good. And as funny as it was, nothing was funnier than the legitimate press conference follow up.
Yeah. So in the mic'd up conversation, right? John Gallagher calls Johan Valencia my sausage, and it's an incredible screen grab, right? And like it's funny on its own. And wouldn't it be true that our own Moon Tower dad and journalist Landon Cottom was at this media availability with Johan Valencia? And Steph, what was the question that Landon asked?
Well, Landon just so meekly threw in one more question,
one more.
Please. John Gallagher in his mic'd up, we heard him call you, and like immediately Valencia had a translator, but immediately he knew like
where this
once
was
he
going.
Heard, yeah. Well, why does he call you my sausage? And the smile and the laugh. Ugh.
Yeah. Johan, like, skyrocketing again into our hearts, just so joyously is like, dude, I don't know.
And the fact that he doesn't know, like, that's so funny to me. Like, what? He just started, Gally just started
day
calling
one.
Johan my sausage?
Day one, he said, as soon as I got here, John Gallagher called me my sausage, and he hasn't stopped. And so every time we're on the training ground, or every time we're in the locker room, it's my sausage. And of course, the follow-up question was, well, what about on the field? Does he call you my sausage on the field? He does not, folks. Yeah. Sorry to report.
Speaking of sausage, though, we did have an asada day. Hey.
Yeah, that's a good one.
and really great pictures. I loved watching the little video. So Emmy is cutting up the meat. And these boys are just like, I mean, if you've ever been around a kitchen counter with a bunch of boys, like, you've seen it. They're just all picking up pieces of meat with their hands and eating them. Like, they're just waiting for the slices to get cut. And also, I wanted to call attention to the fact that they're all drinking Waterloos. And I just liked that. Felt very relatable.
Danny had my Danny had my favorite of the ones on the table, the black cherry. That's a good one. My favorite Waterloo, though, conspicuously.
Blueberry lemonade.
Yeah. Conspicuously absent from the asado, though. I'm just saying. Waterloo, you got to do them better. I loved learning that Emmy Ragone is the new grill master. You know, I was nervous after Maxie left, like, who would be the guy at the grill? It's Emmy.
Yeah. You got a transition here?
Nope. You know,
nothing's
what?
More Texas than meat. You know what else is Texas? Copa Tejas. It doesn't work. Copa Tejas. It's fine.
Yeah.
I tried.
So Copa Tejas structure was finally announced. All of our games, all eight of the games, will count this year. So it will take some creative accounting. It will take some creative work, and it'll take beating Houston and Frisco a lot this season for us to retain our appropriate title. But I have faith in the boys.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Best team in the world. Certainly the best team in Texas. Not worried about it.
Nice. You know what else is nice?
What?
We've got another laundry project coming up.
Yep.
Go ahead.
So
I'm disappointing myself.
Yeah.
Brad deserves better.
So the laundry project, of course, as we all know, being fans of Austin FC, is something started or brought to Austin by Brad Stuver and his wife, Ashley, to help the community do laundry. Sounding as simple as that, it's a huge deal because clean clothes are really important, and it's super expensive to get your clothes washed at a laundromat for folks who are, like, in that space, right? And so they go in, you can volunteer to help them, you wash clothes for a little bit, the people who get their clothes washed for free are super appreciative, and it's generally just a really fun community day. That said, there's a laundry project supply drive on the 7th of April at Hop Squad in the afternoon. And then on the 28th of April will be the washing day with the laundry project starting at 10 a.m. For any more information on that, make sure to check out Brad Stuver's Instagram, the laundry project. There will be links in the show notes. And also, in the meantime, buy a scarf.
Yeah, they're dope as heck.
There are some really cool scarves that have been created for this. One side just says "Stu," and then the other side says "We Heart Clean Sheets," and it's super cute.
Yeah.
I love mine. It looks really good with every single piece of clothing that I own, and some that I don't own. So, you know, if you have clothes I don't wear, you'll still look good in them. Speaking of looking good.
Oh no.
Corey Mose, our own reporter with KVU Television, had an interview this week with the president of the PSRA, that is the Professional Soccer Referees Association, where they talk about the current lockout and how things are going, what fans like us can do to support the lockout and to support getting real refs back into the game. You know, I know we talked about it a little bit on Moon Tower this week. It continues to be something that's really top of mind for me as we sit on that end line, right? And we see the foot races that these referees need to be able to keep up with. And I just think it's really important that we get real refs back. And so I know I have seen on socials and I've shared on socials that Los Verdes is encouraging a boycott of concessions and merchandise from MLS clubs until this is resolved. I, for one, am sad that I can't buy that new Dillo kit because it's super cool. and I can't buy that Verde zip-up hoodie because it's super cool. And if those Austin FC 2 jerseys go on sale, I won't be able to buy those until the lockout's over. But once it is, nothing will have like affected me in doing this, right? Like, I'll still be able to get those merch items, just not now. And to me, that's really important.
Yeah. Doesn't work if just the two of us are doing it, though.
Yeah. That's a good point. But I don't know about, the rest of the folks out there, but I do know that I feel better supporting the referees union here. So,
yeah, really proud of the folks that, are really passionate about this and have been committed to seeing it through.
And so, yeah, check out that interview. We're going to link it in the show notes as well so that you can hear directly from the president of the Pro Soccer Referees Association, because the things they're asking for don't sound unreasonable. Flexibility with flights, I think, is the thing that jumped out the most to me. Like, right now, MLS referees are having to get on 6 a.m. flights the next morning after refereeing a game. So as we're getting out of Q2...
flying in day of and then... leaving, yeah.
Like, as we're getting out of Q2 at 10:30, 11 o'clock at night sometimes, imagine you just ran 20 miles and then have to be up for a 6 a.m. flight. Oof.
Yeah.
Steph, who's the man in your jersey this week? I don't have a transition for this.
Yeah, wow, you're bad at that.
What's your transition then?
Yeah, soccer is all about supporting your own. This week, I'm excited to show support to my own favorite this week.
Nailed it.
Yeah, I'm so good at this. Hire me for all of your
transitions,
clunky segue needs. I am available for purchase. It's Julio.
Weird.
Julio had a really great game.
Yeah.
Beyond the fact that he scored a goal. Just seeing him out there and seeing him so strong. And I know that, like, especially last year, watching him go down so early in the season and have to really fight his way back into the match. Like, I am so proud of him and I'm so grateful that he's on our team. And he is a really cool dude. And someone in Los Verdes Slack shared a story about him that just made it even more like, how could a dude be better? And it just was really nice and sweet, and I am a big Julio fan.
Yeah. Well, That's it. I am not surprised that it's Julio. It will. So on the real stuff,
I'm going to keep track. Last week was Brad. This week was Julio. I'm going to try and balance it out.
I don't need you to balance it out. I just need to know when the lockout is over and you buy your Dillo kit, are you going to get Julio's name on the back of it?
No, it's so hard.
I guess you'll have to wait and find out.
Yeah, wait and find out, everyone.
Hopefully the lockout ends soon enough that we can buy one this year. And then we'll see whose name ends up on the back of it.
Yeah, we will see. Thank you all so much for listening. Thank you, Renee, again, for coming on and doing that Philly preview with us. It was such a great joy to talk to you. Thank you, everyone, for your support with this show. We are excited about it, and let us know how you feel about that new show episode style. We're really excited to bring it to you and excited to hear what y'all think.
Yeah.
We love you. Bye.